like this illustration. It says, several years ago, two young men spent their vacation at a little resort far up into the mountains. While stopping at the hotel, they met a quiet old man who several times asked them to accompany him in his walks. Finally, one of them, George Bennett, consented to go. The other declared that he had come to the mountains to have a good time and not to wander about with some old-timer. George came back enthusiastic over the trip he had taken. Even this did not influence his friend, so George went again and again without him. The day before their departure, however, he accepted the old man's invitation. The friend, who didn't want to have anything to do with an old-timer, decided to accept the invitation the last day of their vacation. They had gone but a short distance when he discovered that the plain-looking old man was none other than a celebrated botanist whom he had long desired to meet. That day he saw the world with a new vision. As the walk came to an end, the look of enjoyment faded out of the young man's face. "Oh, to think what I missed," he exclaimed. "I shall never cease to regret that I walked all these days by myself when I might have been walking with you." You know, that's a really a good argument in favor of you immediately trusting Jesus as your Savior if you have not. And it's also a challenge to the Christian to walk as close as you can with Jesus every day. Let me say that again. It's a challenge to the Christian to walk as close to Jesus as you can every single day. This morning, we're looking at part three of walking with Jesus daily. Part three of walking with Jesus daily. WWJD. Now, at time in the past, that was what would Jesus do, but it also works with walking with Jesus daily. Today, in particular, walking with Jesus daily involves fellowship with the Lord. Walking with Jesus daily involves fellowship with the Lord. And we're going to be looking back in Luke 24. We're looking at the two gentlemen that walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And to set the context for this in Luke 24, this is the very day that Christ resurrected back to life. And without that, as I've said many times, we're in a heap of trouble. Because if Jesus could not conquer death, believe me, you and I will not conquer death. But because Jesus conquered death, we will conquer death and live forever with the Lord by putting our faith and trust in what Jesus did for us. We'll live forever and ever and ever and ever in a place called heaven with Jesus himself. Now, isn't that good news? But on that very day that he resurrected, remember it was a Sunday, the first day of the week, and that's why we gather together and worship the Lord on Sunday, was because that's what the early church did, and we're following and celebrating every Sunday. When we come to church, we really ought to be celebrating that Jesus is alive. And we looked at this passage. I'm going to read it again. It's a few verses, and it relate the story in case you're not familiar with that story. A couple things we've already looked at. Walking with Jesus daily, part one of this message series, involves recognizing daily that Jesus is alive. So every day we get up, we ought to, somewhere along in the process of waking up, brushing our teeth or whatever, we ought to click, Jesus is alive. So I have hope today. I have purpose today. I have joy today. I have security today. And I have a wonderful future looking at me in the future. So walking with Jesus involves recognizing daily that Jesus is alive. That was part one. Part two, walking with Jesus involves an emphasis on the Word of God. Walking with Jesus daily involves an emphasis on the Word of God. You cannot, can I say this? You cannot walk with Jesus daily by ignoring the Word of God. It's just impossible. You see, Jesus was the Word made flesh, but we got the Word of God. I can't see Jesus in the flesh right now, can you? But I have the next best thing. I have the Word of God, which tells me exactly what I need to know. It gives me encouragement for the day. It gives me direction when I have a decision to make. It told me how to be saved, and that's how I was saved when I was 11 years old and trusted the Lord as my Savior. It tells me what my future holds. I mean, every answer in life is found in this book. Whether a lot of people want to accept that or not, the answers are right here. You know, I don't have to say a whole lot other than the Bible says, and I'm on really good ground. And walking with Jesus daily, as this walk with Jesus here on the road to Emmaus, it revolved around the Word of God. Because remember the Bible conference that Jesus had with these two gentlemen? One was named Cleopas and one's not named. And it says he opens up into them the scriptures and starts speaking about the prophecies all the way from Moses and through the prophecies, how that every page of this book points to Jesus. So walking with Jesus not only means recognizing every day that Jesus is alive, it also means that our life should focus upon the Word of God. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you've got to focus and emphasize the Word of God. And that's not, oh, I'm going to read my verse of the day. Well, if that's all you do, that beats nothing. But believe me, if you read a verse a day, it's going to take you a while to get it all. It's going to take a good long time. Today we're looking at walking with Jesus daily involves fellowship with the Lord. But if you follow along as we read this this passage in Luke 24, verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus." The same day the Lord resurrected, again Sunday, two of them, one of them's named Cleopas, the other's not named. Emmaus is about, let's just say about 8 miles from Jerusalem, all right? Northwest of Jerusalem. We really don't know exactly why they were going to Emmaus, but they were. If you figured up, it probably, for purposes of the message, it's just kind of round that, to say it probably took them 3 hours to walk this distance, okay? 3 hours to walk this distance. It says, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us, what? Astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, or the tomb. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, that would be Peter and John, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, Jesus speaking to these two, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You know, it's funny. All the things that he said so far are questions, right? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them on all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And guess what? And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And the ones that were gathered together, notice what they were saying. The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they spake, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Now, isn't this a wonderful story in Scripture? I mean, you got Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, walking with two people on the road to Emmaus. Now, it says that they did not recognize who he was. I believe God put that Jesus, made them somewhat blinded to the fact that this was Jesus. But they walked along, and Jesus was questioning them. He saw that they were sad, and he was saying, like, well, why are you sad? What's going on? Oh, don't you know? In other words, kind of like, where have you been? What rock have you been under not to know this? He said, what things are you talking about? Jesus was the central figure of the crucifixion and resurrection, right? But they're saying, you know, don't you know what's going on? So he keeps asking these questions to get them to ponder and to think what's going on. And in his 3 hours, I imagine it went pretty quick, because Jesus started in Scripture and was explaining to them, you know, that every page, every prophecy, everything in the Word of God points to me. Now, he didn't say me in this case, but points to Christ. And I'm sure they were so impressed, like, wow. And when they got to the place that they were going to, Jesus made as if he was going to go on. They said, no, come on in, tarry with us. I'm sure that they wanted to hear more. Hear more about how every page of Scripture points to Jesus. And it says that they took bread, Jesus did, and brake it and blessed it. Now, that was not communion, okay? That was when they were just having a meal together, is really what that's speaking of. But when that happened, their eyes went, boom, oh, this is Jesus. Then he vanishes out of their sight. And then they walk back, let's say that 3-hour trek back to Jerusalem to let them know that Jesus was alive. They had seen him too now. Now, you know, the Christian life is likened to walking with Jesus in a number of places. And I really think we can learn some things about walking with Jesus by looking at this story in Scripture. As we've already said, you know, part number one of this was walking with Jesus daily recognizes that Christ is alive, that there is a resurrection. And if you want to have a close walk with Jesus, you'll not have it if you don't recognize that he's alive. Secondly, and they recognize that, it comes throughout in this story. All that's the message of the story, that Jesus is alive. But also, when we look at this story, we see some other things that help us in our walk with God daily. An emphasis on the Word of God. As I mentioned, it says, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them the Scriptures. You know, he goes through this and tells them about who he is, and everything points to him. They eventually see him for who he is. I'm thankful. They even talked about heartburn. Their heartburn, as he taught us. If we're going to walk with Jesus, it also should be an emphasis or be focused upon or pivot around the Word of God. today, walking with Jesus involves fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship. You say, what does fellowship really mean? You know, the original word koinonia in Scripture talks about fellowship. It mentions it in the early church. It's kind of like holding the things that are similar, holding to things that are similar, things that we agree on, things that a common bond that we have. And you see, every single day we get up, we make the choice. Am I going to fellowship with Jesus, or am I going to just leave him wherever he is and I'm just going to do my own thing? Or am I going to take time to have sweet fellowship with the Lord? You say, where do you see this in this story? Well, it's at least implied in several places. In verse 14, when he joins himself, before he joins himself, actually in verse 14, it says, and they talk together. You know, part of fellowship is talking together, right? And so these two guys were talking together, and it says in verse 15, they were communing together. You know, they were pretty sad. But isn't that a good time to have fellowship with someone? Is when you are kind of down and maybe they can pick you up. Maybe you can pick them up. But they were reasoning in their mind, it says. It says in Jesus himself, what? Drew near. You know, part of fellowshipping with the Lord is being close to the Lord. And can I say, you'll never be as close to the Lord as you could be if you don't take time to fellowship with the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 17. It says, and he said unto them, what manner of what? Communications are these that ye have one to another? So they were talking back and forth. Isn't that part of fellowship? Talking back and forth with the Lord. He speaks to us through the Word. We speak to him in prayer. And I'm thankful in verse 25, that when we're communicating and when we're fellowshipping with someone, you know, there's a kind of an open communication. Notice Jesus calls them old fools and slow of heart. I mean, he hits the nail right on the head. And it's true that when we fellowship and listen to God, sometimes he smacks us upside the head and says, hey, you need to straighten up and fly right. Because what you're doing may not be right, and what you're not doing, you should be doing. And it says in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. And then lastly, and even the best illustration of fellowship, you see, they were sharing a meal together. You know, in those days, sharing a meal with someone really meant something. You know, and today, sharing a meal with someone really means something to me too, because I enjoy eating. You know, some people say some people eat to live, and some people live to eat. If I had to figure out which one it is, I lean a little bit more toward the live to eat part. No, But I enjoy my food. And really, when you sit down with someone and you're eating with them, you know, we even call that what we're having a fellowship after church, right? We go over and in the fellowship hall, Good Shepherd Hall, we eat together. And there's something special about that time together, right? Because we have Christ in common, we that know Jesus. It's a common bond. Now, fellowship is broader than just eating together, but part of that eating together, part of that fellowship, that is eating together and joy and company together, right? And it says, when they were eating this meal, it says, verse 29, they constrained him, saying, abide with us. So that kind of gets you the idea of fellowship too, doesn't it? Abide with us. Stay here with us, for it's toward evening. And it says in the latter part of that verse, and he went into what? Tarry with them. His presence was there. And even when their eyes were open and they said, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way? You see, walking with Jesus daily involves fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to make a statement here, probably one of the most important statements I'll make in the message. I believe it's based upon the Word of God. The sooner we recognize our quiet time with the Lord as fellowship and not a drudgery, the more meaningful our quiet time will be. You know, in particular, I hope that you get the idea. You know, we preachers, we say, you know what? You need to be in the Word of God. And that's true, right? And preachers, we get up and say, you know what? You need to make sure you're praying. And that's important, right? But you know what? Even beyond being in God's Word and just praying to God, we need to look at our time with the Lord as fellowship, as sweet fellowship. You see, too often, you know, like, well, the preacher says I better have a quiet time. So I guess I better have a quiet time. You know, I mean, really, that ought not be the way it is. You know, like, well, I'm worn out. I just don't think I feel like having a quiet time today. You know, we kind of look at it really totally wrong. I don't know about you, but I enjoy time with Amy. Now, I'm not asking you if you enjoy your time with Amy. But with your spouse, hopefully you enjoy your time together, right? And, you know, in this idea of walking, you know, when I walk, I'd rather walk with someone, wouldn't you? Whether it be Amy or the boys or all of them at the same, you enjoy that. It's not like a drudgery, like, oh, here I go again. I don't want to do this. I mean, we ought to look forward to spending time with the Lord in sweet fellowship. Do you understand the difference that I'm presenting? You know, too many times, like, well, I got to do my quiet time instead of I get to do my quiet time. I get to spend time with the Lord today. And again, as we read the Word of God, Jesus is speaking to us, or should be, uses the Holy Spirit inside of us to say, hey, do you pay attention to that? Hey, there's a verse that will encourage you through the tough times. Hey, there's a verse that you really need to listen to because you need to stop doing what you're doing. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, as He speaks to us in this fellowship with the Lord, says there's something you need to be doing. Now look at that verse, because you're not doing that. You need to start doing that. And we pray to Him and say, God, you know, I want your will, I want your guidance, I want your blessing. That is sweet fellowship. Again, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, I don't think ever get to that point. You know, it's kind of like it's always a drudgery. It's always a checklist. It shouldn't be that. You know, I have very dear friends of ours from back when we were seminary, our best friends in seminary. I talked to him yesterday for probably over an hour on the phone. Amy couldn't be there. She went to the ladies' retreat over at BBT yesterday and Friday. But I talked to him, we'd been on the phone for an hour, just like it seemed like we'd been on the phone 5 minutes. You know, we were catching up and talking about they were missionaries. They've been missionaries to Cuba and to Spain, and now they're on a pastoral staff down in South Carolina. And it was good. It wasn't like, boy, I just really hate talking to these people. You know, it's like, hey, yeah, this is good. How y'all doing? Yeah, let me tell you. And they'd ask you how things go. And that's good, sweet fellowship over the phone. But when you and I spend time with the Lord daily, it's sweet fellowship between us and the Lord. You know, it really, really is important. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time looking at this in particular, but I want to make the point that the Lord really wants to spend time with us. He does. If you would turn to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 1 John. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Notice what it says. As John writes this first epistle in verse 3, he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. So I'm writing unto you the things that I know about the Christian life and about the Lord. It says, for that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Do you know, when we have fellowship with the Lord, we have sweeter fellowship with one another, right? But notice it goes on, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know, this speaks of that fellowship that we have with the Lord, fellowship that we have with God the Father, and the fellowship that we can have with one another. But you see, walking with Jesus daily involves fellowship, that sweet fellowship with the Lord. And I noticed in Scripture that in John 13:16, I want you to notice the word servant. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. Y'all agree with that? Amen. But notice, we're called or referred to as servants. But go to John chapter 15 and verse 15. It says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you what? Friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Notice, thirdly, in Matthew 28, he calls us brethren. In verse 10, then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Hebrews chapter 2 also mentions brethren, verses 9 to 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. It says in verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. But notice verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth, that would be Jesus, and they who are sanctified, that's us, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Brethren. And lastly, in this train of thought on what the Lord calls us, notice Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. We go from being called a servant to a friend to brethren. And notice in this passage, we're called joint heirs. Joint heirs. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, here it is, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, our fellowship with the Lord should be sweet. Hello? It should be good. And the Lord started, and we are his servant. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We should serve him faithfully. But even in his own terminology, he goes from calling us a servant, right? And then he says friend. And then he says brethren. And then Scripture calls us joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. Now, I'm not elevating us to the level of Jesus, but I'm saying, can you see the closeness that should be in our relationship with the Lord? You know, salvation should never be fire insurance. Well, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to accept Jesus. No, that might be a good reason to do it, but it goes way, way, way beyond that. Because Jesus loves us so much, we ought to, in our day, walk with Jesus daily and spend time with him in sweet fellowship. Again, not a drudgery, not something that's just like all like a ball and chain around my ankle. If I only didn't have to do this, it ought to be, I'm thankful that I have the privilege of fellowshipping with Jesus, my Savior and Lord. me say that statement one time, one more time. The sooner we recognize our quiet time with the Lord as fellowship and not a drudgery, the more meaningful our quiet time will be. Did you notice in that time of fellowship when they were breaking of bread? Did you notice the result? Their eyes were open and they recognized Jesus. I really think that if we take our fellowship with the Lord seriously and our quiet time with the Lord, now I know I'm oversimplifying just a wee little bit, but when we're looking at God's Word, that's God speaking to us. And the Holy Spirit uses that. And when we're praying to God, it's us talking to God. So it is two-way communication, right? It would be great to say, well, there's God sitting in this chair, I see Him. But by faith, He's just as real. He's there. He's listening. And He's communicating with us. And it is sweet. But did you notice when they broke bread in fellowship, as they were eating, their eyes were open and they recognized Jesus. Do you know, as we spend sweet fellowship with the Lord, we'll get a better and better and better picture of who Jesus is. You know, a lot of times, maybe when you're first saved, the picture of Jesus, if you allow me, is a little bit fuzzy. You know, I know who He was. I know He died upon the cross, but I don't know a whole lot more. But the more you spend time in God's Word and let Him speak to you, the more you spend in prayer talking to Him about it, the more in focus, if you will, Jesus becomes. And you recognize Him for who He is and for all that He's done. And I have a sneaky suspicion that once we spend time reading His book and hearing what He's got to say, and the more we spend talking to God and telling Him our problems and what we need Him to do and how blessed we are to have a Savior like Him, the more that we do that and the more our eyes are open to what Jesus looks like, I believe that you and I will look more and more like Jesus. I'm not talking about in the physical way, but I'm talking about we'll look more and more like Jesus in the way we treat people. We'll be more and more like Jesus in the way we live our lives. We'll be more and more like Jesus in our response to even criticism. The more we see Jesus, the more we fellowship with Him, and look forward to it. I really think if we get our minds stayed upon this, and we really kind of understand this in a good way, again, I believe it can be the brightest spot of your day is spending sweet fellowship with the Lord. And I'm sure there's some here today say, well, I just don't spend any time in the Word. I don't spend any time in prayer. I'm too busy. Well, if you're a child of God and you're too busy to do that, you definitely are too busy. And you need to start taking out some non-essential things out of your life so that you have some time to spend with Jesus in sweet fellowship. You see, walking with Jesus daily involves fellowshipping with the Lord. Fellowshipping with the Lord. It seems a happy Christian met an Irish peddler one day and said to him, "It's a grand thing to be saved." "Aye," said the peddler, "it is. But I think something is equally as good as that." "What can you possibly think is equal to salvation?" The Irishman answered, "The companionship and fellowship of the man who has saved me," was the reply. Another story. Ben, I think his last name is Jochai, was teaching a group of students about the miracle of the manna when Israel was on the way from Egypt to the Promised Land. Remember the manna that the Lord provided the children of Israel? One of the students asked, "Why didn't the Lord furnish enough manna for Israel at one time to last the entire year?" Not a bad question. The teacher said, "I'll answer you with a parable. Once there was a rich man who had a son to whom he promised an annual allowance. Every year on the same day, he'd give his son the entire amount. After a while, it happened that the only time the father saw his son was on the day of the year when he was to receive his allowance. So the father changed his plan and only gave the son enough for the day. Then the next day, the son would return for the allowance for the day. From then on, the Father saw His Son every day. This is the way God dealt with Israel. It's the way God deals with us when we walk with Jesus daily. Guess what? He gives us what we need in that time of fellowship. Walking with Jesus daily, WWJD that is, walking with Jesus daily involves fellowshipping with the Lord. Now, everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. I have a question for you. Are you fellowshipping with your Savior and your Lord Jesus on a daily basis? As friend to friend and brother to brother, as you set aside this quiet time with Him? Are you? Now, you know, this question that I'm asking, I can't answer it for you. Because I'm not around you all the time. I see you at church, and be honest with you, everybody looks pretty good. Everybody got a pretty good smile on their face. Look like they washed their face. I don't see any dirty faces out there, I don't believe. I don't even smell anything too bad up here right now. So you look pretty good, but I don't follow you around to see what you do. But are you? As you look me straight in the eye, are you fellowshipping with the Lord every day? Fellowshipping. You're hearing what He says through the Word. You're telling Him what you want to tell Him as a friend would to a friend, as a brother would to a brother. Are you telling Him what you're going through, listening to what He has for you, in that sweet fellowship every day? Some of you might say, I'll have my quiet time. Have you really looked at it as sweet fellowship? Or is it kind of like, well, I should do this. I know I should, but I hope that the way you look at it has at least been enlightened a little bit today. We need that fellowship with the Lord. You and I need that daily fellowship with the Lord. I really think if we get a hold of this as individuals and say, you know what, it's not that I had to. It's not that someone told me I needed to. It's because I really want to. I want to spend some time hearing from you, God. I want to spend some time talking to you, God, again in that sweet fellowship. And as I mentioned before, you know, Jesus desires that same fellowship from us. You know, it's not like He's lacking anything. It's not like He needs us in particular. But He looks forward to the time. Now, this really is like, but I really think that Christ looks forward to our time that we fellowship with Him. I'm going to read to you something that someone else has written. I've edited a little bit. But it's called Christ's Desire of Man's Fellowship. Jesus offers us fellowship with Himself, but He looks for fellowship from us as well. He longed for the fellowship of His disciples on the eve of His crucifixion. Luke 22:15 says, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." He desired their fellowship to strengthen Him for His conflict and His cross. He asks for it today also. He asks for it today. It is something constant and continuous that He desires. A sense of His presence at communion is good, but it's not enough. A wave of emotion at some evening service and the opening of the heart to Christ is good, but it is not enough. An act of dedication or rededication at some service like the present is good, but it is not enough. Some folks are deeply touched at some mission service, but the impression soon passes away. Some welcome Christ as a visitor for the weekend, but when Monday comes, cares or pleasures banish Christ from the fellowship that He desires. Something more is needed. Our heart must be one that He can make a home and daily and permanent home within. It must be a contrite heart. It must be a cleansed heart. It must be a sensitive heart. It must be a heart that daily fellowships with the Lord. I would ask you, would you stand to your feet, please? If you would, bow your head and close your eyes. Amy is going to come to the piano and play through a song, and as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you the question that I've asked several times through the message. Are you in sweet fellowship with the Lord? Do you spend that time reading His Word and letting Him speak to you, and in prayer speaking to Him in that sweet fellowship? Not that drudgery, not something you're just supposed to do, but is it something that's sweet? Are you spending that time with the Lord? If God is speaking to your heart today, maybe about whether you do that or whether you approach that even with the right attitude of looking forward to it or not. If God is speaking to your heart today about that, Christian, would you come to the altar and would you just talk to the Lord? Nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Between you and God, would you come to the altar and say, God, help me to look at my quiet time with you as sweet fellowship. Maybe it's like, Lord, I really don't have a quiet time. I don't have a time set aside for that. Maybe like, Lord, help me to put that into my life. Or maybe it's just, Lord, help me to look at it the right way. Help me to long for it. Help me to look forward to it. Help me to enjoy spending time with you. Lord, speaking to your heart today, would you step out and come to the altar? And I'd encourage you, invitation is a very, very, very serious time. If God is speaking to your heart, guess what? You need to do business with God. If He's not speaking to your heart, it's a great time to be praying for someone who God is speaking to their heart. What about your fellowship with the Lord? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you, do you know for sure? Let me ask you another question. Do you know for sure that if your life would end today that you'd be in heaven? Are you 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If you're not, you can be sure by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you. Salvation is a point in time decision to turn your life over to Jesus. And whether you're listening in by live stream or whether you're here today, if you're here today, you can come down and talk to me. I'd love to show you how to be saved. You can leave here today saying, I know. Preacher, when you ask that question, I'm always a little bit uncomfortable, but now when you say, are you 100% sure that if you die, you'd go to heaven? I can in my heart say, absolutely. So as the piano is played, I'd encourage you to step forward and say, preacher, I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm saved. If you're listening in by live stream, you can call out to the Lord from a sincere heart wherever you are and tell Him something like this. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've done things against you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior today. And if you mean that from your heart, it's not in the words, but it's in meaning it from your heart. You can be saved wherever you are. I'd encourage you to do that very thing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll help each one of us, every one of us that name the name of Christ, Lord, help every single one of us to have a quality, quiet time with you, a time of fellowship, sweet fellowship with you. And Lord, help us to look at it the right way and truly, truly enjoy our time with you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to move in our hearts and our lives in big ways. Draw us closer to you. Help us to hear what you have for us in our quiet time at home. And Lord, help us to never neglect that sweet fellowship that you too desire from us. You want to see us Lord, in your book and praying to you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to leave this place drawn a little closer to you, a little more faithful to you, and again, looking at our quiet time with you, perhaps in a brand new way. Lord, as sweet, that is sweet fellowship that we look forward to. We pray this in Jesus' name.